This one. Just talk among yourselves for a minute. Right. Good morning. Good to be here this morning in God's house. We're coming to the end of another year, aren't we? I can't believe how quickly this one's gone by, can you? All the things that have happened. Have you started sort of reminiscing on what's happened this last year and perhaps maybe even wondering about what the new year has to bring? Well, it's that time of year when we do tend to look back and then maybe look forward with a little bit of trepidation as well. But I think there are two things that we need to do at this time of the year. Given that we're only about 2 weeks away from the end of the year, we need first of all to remember and be thankful for what God has done in our lives. But also, we need to also forget the past and move on. So that's the theme for today, is to remember and be thankful and forget the past and move on. Many years ago when I had a proper job, and I was a marketing manager for a toy manufacturer. And at the beginning of the year, we used to have a meeting. And the meeting was to work out the targets for the year. I don't know whether those of you who have been in industry or in that type of work would know that, you know, yes, we've had meetings like that before where we've had to make targets for the year. And then, of course, you come to the end of the year and you have a thing called appraisals to see how you got on that year, whether you met your targets and whether or not you could have done better. And, you know, we would come to the end of the year when our performance, if you like, would be reviewed. And, of course, this review determined how well we had done throughout the year, whether we got a bonus or something like that. But it made me wonder, you know, what if God did the appraisal on us? I wonder how we would score. I wonder how we'd rate all our resolutions, all our good intentions. What was it? Eat healthily, exercise more, read the Bible daily, pray more often. All of these resolutions, if you like, that we may have thought about. I recently read a story about a man who dreamed that he had died and gone to heaven. And when he reached heaven's gate, he saw a sign on heaven's gate which said, "Entrance requirement, 1,000 points. And he was a bit shocked when he saw that. And he thought, oh. But there was an angel that was at the gate there. And he said to the angel at the gate, "That seems an awful lot. Do you think I could possibly have earned 1,000 points to get me into heaven?" And the angel said, "Well, tell me what you've done. And I'll see how you rate and see how you've got on, see how many points you've earned." So he said, "Well, let me think." He said, "I've been a Christian now for 32 years. I was a youth leader for 12 years. I taught Sunday school for 18 years. And I've been a regular member of the church choir as well." And the angel said, "Wonderful, that's wonderful." Yeah, and he looked at his book and he said, "That's wonderful, you've earned a point." Huh? He was a bit surprised. Says, "Well, let's think. I've tithed my income. I've served as an elder on the church council. I've even helped paint the church a couple of times in my time here. I've set up the chairs and the tables. And I've often stayed late to take them down again. Well done, said the angel. That's brilliant. Great stuff. And he looked down and he said, do you know that's another point? He said, you've got 2 points now. And the man was starting to feel pretty jaded by now and getting pretty desperate. And he said, well, I've invited loads of people to church. I've even been out on the streets ministering. In fact, I've actually even won quite a few people to Christ. I've supported the missionary family. And I've never cheated on my income tax, by the way. And the angel said, oh, brilliant, brilliant. That's worth another point. You've got 3 now. And the poor man's face sank with futility. And he said, I might as well give up. It seems to me I can never be good enough to get into heaven. Seems impossible without the grace of God. And with that, the gates opened. It is impossible without the grace of God, isn't it? We've come to the end of this year, not by our own efforts, not by our own strength, not by our carefulness or our healthy lifestyle even. We are here just by the grace of God. And I'm sure that as each one of us here looks back over this past year, I'm sure that we can each one of us testify to the abundant grace of God in our lives. If you were able to accomplish something this year, it's because of His grace and favor. If you went through really difficult times this year, really trying times, friends, it is because His grace sustained you through those times. You know, when we look back over this year, we can see the fingerprints of God over everything, can't we? If we look. So, the first part of my message would be, remember and be thankful. In our reading from Deuteronomy this morning, God is telling the Israelites to remember how the Lord led them through the wilderness all those 40 years. 40 years traveling through the wilderness. 40 years after the angel of death had passed over the land, and the firstborn had all been slain, and the people of Israel had been brought out of captivity. 40 years wandering in the desert. 40 years being guided by God. 40 years of being fed supernaturally by manna and by quail. Water from the rock. Moses goes on to tell them that God is going to bring them into a good land, he says. A promised land. A place of abundance. Where they will lack nothing. These people are on the verge of entering into a new phase of their life. But before that, Moses tells them, he says, remember, he's reminding them, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness for 40 years. He's telling them, give thanks for what God did for you during that past 40 years. Look back and give thanks, remember and give thanks. Now Luke 17 tells us a lovely story of 10 lepers. Jesus was on his way through Samaria. He was going back to Jerusalem. He could have taken the road to the east, which was the road that most people took because it was a safer road. The Samaritan people weren't very hospitable and they didn't like the Jews. So they weren't very welcoming. And so to travel along the road through Samaria was a little bit of a risk. But Jesus and his disciples took that risk. They went through, took the road heading back towards Jerusalem. And 10 lepers shouted from a distance. What was it? They cried out, "Master, have pity on us. Have pity on us." They had leprosy. They don't call it leprosy today, you know. It still exists. There is no cure for leprosy, although it can be controlled. It's called Hansen's disease today, because the word leprosy carries such a stigma. It's known as Hansen's disease today. But when Jesus saw these 10 lepers who were crying out from a distance, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." You see, at this point, their bodies are being destroyed by this dreadful, debilitating disease. Fingers and toes dropped off. Their flesh rotted. They stank from decay. They were ostracized by society. They weren't allowed to be part of society. They had to be separate to society because this disease was so contagious. And Jesus says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And they go. You know, we might say, well, that's a remarkable act of faith on their part, isn't it? To do what Jesus said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." You see, the priest had the authority to proclaim whether a person was clean or not. He was the one who would issue the certificate of cleanliness to allow a person through into society. And the Bible tells us that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went. I love that bit. As they went, they were cleansed. Friends, miracles happen when we take a step of faith. If they had waited until they were healed, they might never have been healed. Because, you know, you can't put conditions on God, can you? I wonder if there's ever been a point in your life where you've said, "Lord, if you'll do this," or, "Lord, if I'll do so and so." In other words, we try and put conditions on God. We can't say, "Lord, as soon as there is enough money, I'll do this for you," or, "Lord, just solve this problem and I'll do that." We can't put conditions on God. Instead, God makes demands of faith on each one of us. Before anything has changed, we need to trust God and his word for a miracle to take place. And on their way, all of them received their healing. But one of them came back to thank Jesus. Jesus said, "I thought there were 10 of you." But one came back, and he was a Samaritan. We're not even told in the Bible whether he actually got as far as showing himself to the priest. The Bible doesn't say. But the moment he saw that he was healed, he came back. I think that's quite amazing. You know, he could have waited to say thank you, Jesus. He could have said, "Well, let me go to the priest and get my certificate of cleanliness to show that I'm clean. Let me go and see my wife and my family. I haven't seen them for years. I haven't been able to go and hold my wife and hug my wife and children. Let me go and see them first and then I'll come back." No, the moment he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus and he fell at the feet of Jesus and gave thanks to Jesus in a loud voice. Everything was secondary to giving thanks to God for his healing. Remember, friends, remember what God has done and be thankful. You notice in this scripture, if you read it in chapter 17 of Luke, that Jesus never commanded that they should express their thankfulness to him. This man's thankfulness wasn't commanded. It was spontaneous, wasn't it? When this man first prayed, he prayed in a loud voice with desperation. Lord, have pity on me. When he gave thanks, he showed the same attitude. He fell at Jesus' feet and in a loud voice, he praised him. Friends, God is looking for each one of us to come and say, thank you. We have such a lot to thank him for, don't we? And not just say thank you in a glib sort of a way, an offhand sort of a way. But count your blessings, we're told that, aren't we? Count your blessings. Take time to list them out. What's the old hymn? Count your blessings. Count them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. You know, we have so many blessings to thank God for. But let me just say this. Maybe this past year you expected a miracle. You hoped for a miracle. You prayed for a miracle, but it didn't happen in your life. Friend, you still need to thank God. Because if it didn't happen yet, it means that God wants you to wait. Because he wants to give you the very best. He has something in store for you that is very special. The Apostle Paul said, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now we might say, oh, that's all very well for Paul. It's all right for him. He doesn't have the problems that I've got. He doesn't know what I'm going through. He never experienced my problems. Well, that's possibly true in some ways. But let me just remind you as you perhaps read back through the book of Acts. Paul wrote those words when he was in a dark, dank prison. I don't know whether many of you have ever been to Rome. If you go to Rome, near the Forum is the Mamertine prison, where Paul spent some time in the Mamertine prison. And if you go there, it is a most foreboding place. Paul was in a prison, damp and dank. Beside that, he'd experienced being whipped, imprisoned, cold, hungry, shipwrecked. He'd been stoned, all because of his faith. But it never, ever stopped him giving thanks, did it? He even referred to that thorn in the flesh. You know, scholars have wondered what that thorn in the flesh might be. Some think that it was perhaps his eyesight. Because in one of his epistles he writes, see what big letters I write. And of course we do know that he was blinded, wasn't he, when he met with Christ on the Damascus Road. And some scholars think that there was an effect that happened because of that. But Paul had this thorn in the flesh which he had to live with. And if you believe that God does all things for our good, then we need to thank him no matter what. Thank him for the unanswered prayers, the unheard prayers, the trials and the problems. What does it say in Psalms? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Thanks be to God. But what about the second part of our reading today that we read in Isaiah chapter 43? Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. I don't know whether it's a thing about old age or getting older, but we tend to dwell on the past the older we get, don't we? We tend to be looking back to things that, oh, I remember when. And I'm sure each one of us can have a little smile about that. But sometimes we dwell on the past hurts, don't we? Things that perhaps were done to us by someone. Past embarrassments that you can't get rid of in your mind. Sometimes harsh words. Past failures often come up, don't they, when we look to the past. You know, sometimes I think we dwell so much in the past that we forget that God works in the present. It might be past glories or past successes or past regrets or past worries. But friends, we need to remember that what God did in the past, He did. What happened, happened. God says in this verse, don't camp in your past. Don't live in your past. It's time to move on. And as we come to the end of a year, there may have been things this past year that have been difficult for you. And God says, I know about that. But friend, it is time to move on. It is time to move on. You see, the problem is not that we think about former things. That's human nature, isn't it? But that we choose to dwell on the former things. And this is what God's saying. Don't dwell on the former things. Don't dwell on all those things that prevent us from moving forward. Perhaps there are things that you said or did this year that you now regret. God doesn't want you to dwell on that. The Bible makes it clear that if you confess your sins and ask for forgiveness, then God forgives you. All you need to remember is not to sin again. Don't keep looking back on the sins that have been forgiven. Maybe you didn't live up to expectations. Maybe you failed. But God in Jesus has already forgiven you. You just need to forgive yourself. And friends, also, we need to forgive others, don't we? Those that have offended us or hurt us. I remember many years ago in a church that I was in, I was deeply hurt by something that was said. Deeply hurt. And I held on to that hurt for such a long time. And it damaged my faith. It damaged my walk with God. All the time I was hanging on to that hurt. It was hard to forgive the person that hurt me. And it is hard, isn't it, when someone hurts you, to forgive them. But we're called to do it. And God is saying here, don't enter the new year with a grudge in your heart. You're coming into a new year now. Don't enter with a grudge in your heart. God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. You see, He wants to do a new thing in your life, in my life. If you cling to old things, to old habits, old grudges, you can't see the new thing in your life, can you? Don't carry the baggage into the new year. Forgive those we haven't forgiven yet. Yes, I know a spirit of unforgiveness can be really strong. You know, many years ago, there was a man who got bitten by a dog. And it was soon discovered that the dog had rabies. And the man was rushed into hospital and tests found that he'd contracted rabies. And at that time, there was no solution to this problem. They hadn't got a way of curing anyone who had rabies. And the doctor was faced with telling the man that his condition was incurable and was terminal. And he advised the man to put his affairs in order as soon as possible. Well, the man in his hospital bed fell back in shock. He was horrified. But he soon rallied and he asked for a pen and paper and was soon busy writing. And the doctor returned to the ward and he saw him writing away quite vigorously. And he went up to the man and he said, "I see that you're putting your house in order, that you're working on your will." And the man looked at him and said, "This ain't no will, doc. This is a list of people I'm going to bite before I die." You know, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus told a parable about a man like that. This man was deeply in debt to the king. He owed him a fortune. He was a servant of the king, yet he owed him a fortune. And he couldn't pay. He didn't have the means to pay. And the king had called in the debt. And he fell on his knees before the king and pleaded with the king. He appealed to the king, and the king took pity on him. And we're told that the king cancelled the debt. Cancelled the debt. He didn't just defer the debt, he cancelled the debt. This debt that this man couldn't possibly ever have paid. And this man went away, and the Bible tells us he went out and found a fellow servant who owed him a very small amount of money. But he couldn't pay him. And this servant had the other servant thrown into prison until he could pay. And we're told that when the news reached the king, he was angry. And he had him delivered to the torturers until he could pay what was due to him. And verse 35 of Matthew 18 says, "So my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." That's a challenge, isn't it? That's a challenge. So as we step into a new year, it's a reminder that no one should enter with unforgiveness in their heart. You may be genuinely right if you're in a dispute with someone. You may be genuinely right. And they may be blatantly wrong. But we're called to be forgiving, just as Christ forgave us. You need to make that phone call. You need to write that letter. You need to shake that hand. You need to do whatever it takes. Because Isaiah says, forget the former things. Because God has a new thing in store for you. Philippians 3:13, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus." Friends, it's only a matter of days, isn't it? 2 weeks. When we will enter into a new year. I talk to people about the new year and I find that there is generally a consensus of most people that they are worried about what the new year has to bring. They're afraid of what's going to happen in the new year. Is COVID on the rise again? This new strain that they're talking about? The world seems a more dangerous place than it was a year ago, doesn't it? threats of more war. Gaza, Lebanon, Ukraine, Syria. So much unrest around the world. Threats of war, even nuclear war. What's going to happen? What's going to happen when Donald Trump comes into power in January? What's going to happen to Ukraine? What's going to happen to Gaza? 43,000 people dead in Gaza. What sort of future is there? And then it becomes personal, doesn't it? And we say to ourselves, well, what sort of a future is there for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, who are only tiny little tots? What sort of a future is there? Friends, God has spoken. We need to remember this. God has spoken. And he has said, be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. How often does that crop up in the Bible? Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You know, if God is with us, who can be against us? As God's children today, when we look towards the future, friends, we can draw confidence, can't we? Because God says, surely, I am with you. Always. To the very end of the age. That should encourage us. That should strengthen us. His grace has been with us thus far. And friends, His grace will be sufficient for each one of us. For all times. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this past year. We want to thank you that you guided us through all that we faced through this past year. And Lord, we dedicate this new year to you as we seek your guidance for the year ahead. We pray, Heavenly Father, that it might be a time of growth, both individually and corporately, that you might be glorified in all that we do and say. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.